What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Oh, hi, Scout.
Hi, babe.
You sound like shit.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I know, it's...
exhaustion?
Probably. Yeah, probably 100%. So sorry, guys, if this is going to be a train wreck.
Okay, it's not going to be a train wreck. I got you. I'll talk.
Yeah.
Listen, I'll read the questions and talk.
I know. It's so crazy because it was... Well, I also think it's from filming, and we just wrapped 2 days ago, but I think it's also from... I got food poisoning, and like my body's been off
chicken
balance.
Chicken from Ralph's again? What's happening?
No, oysters.
Oh, gross.
I think oysters. But this is different. I think I might go to urgent care right after this because there's like something going on with oysters, like a virus and shit.
Oh.
So I'm just going to make
that
sure.
Before?
I'm not dying.
Or after you went?
Maybe before. Next question. It's 11-11, everybody. Make a wish. 11-11. So I'm just going to make sure it's not that. But I think it's also like that's why my throat, it's like from, sorry, right. TMI, but throwing up.
I mean, it's funny because I said, I don't remember who I said. I might have even actually said to Tom the other day, I was like, you know, she's going to get sick the day after she wraps, right? He's like, oh, yeah. I was like, yeah, she's, because she's just holding up, you know, the world. And then she's finally going to allow herself to feel. And yeah. She's going to get sick. Isn't that crazy how when you're working, even when you're sick, you manage to like psych yourself out in your brain and your body suddenly doesn't feel sick anymore when you're on set? Like you have to just forget about it.
Oh, I know. A lot of my crew were saying, because I had food poisoning. It started at 2 a.m. in the morning and it was everything you could imagine was happening to my
Wonderful.
Body for like 2 to like 5 a.m. and then call was 8 a.m. And I still had it. Like there was nothing. Luckily, like the worst of it was in the morning time and I hadn't slept.
It's your last day?
No. This is like 3 days before the end. And I literally was like so casually that my crew was just like telling me at the wrap party the other night, which I'll talk about. But they were like, yeah, you just casually asked Tom for a trash bag while you were yelling action. And Tom was like, trash bag for what? Like, what do you need? I was like, I need to throw up in it and I need to continue. I was like, but I wasn't thinking of it. I was just like, just have it on standby just in case. So because we were doing like a climactic scene and it was a lot of moving parts and I just didn't have time. Like, I kept on telling a couple of people, I was like, yeah, I marked that entire fucking place. I felt like a fucking dog.
How many times in your career have you worked with food poisoning? Like gone on set and had to work?
Not like this. Normally sick, but not food poisoning. This was like something else. Like this was, I also don't know if like, you know, that ranch that we filmed at, like
It'd have like mold and disgusting things in the house.
Yeah,
that could
dude.
Make you super
like, I'm
sick.
Not sure if there was like mold and like stuff. Like, obviously, there was in that one bar, which they wanted me to film in that. And I was like, fuck you. I'm not putting anybody in this fucking bar. You can walk in and you, like,
you just know.
You get sick. Yeah. So I'm just going to get like just checked out just to make sure everything's good. I'm probably just exhausted.
Can you get an IV for once? Can you listen to me and have them come to your house?
I can't. IV, I like have the worst experience every time I get an IV. They can't find my fucking veins. And then I end up like getting nauseous because they're fucking poking me in my arm.
You would feel
it's
so much better and you could just try it and just see. They'll come to your house.
But I have done it and I just, it doesn't make me feel good. Like, I don't like the feeling. It doesn't make me
feel good. Doesn't make you feel good.
It doesn't make me feel good. So I'm electrolytes in my big old thing. My fucking manager texting me like,
Is it Pedialyte?
No, but I think I'm going to grab
that. You should grab some Pedialyte, especially after
Pedialyte, but you were missed at the wrap party.
What was it like? Was it Aunt's house, right?
It was at Aunt's house, yeah. But so we filmed the day before. We started at 11 p.m. because we had the liquor store at the end, and we finished at 10 a.m. the next morning. Uh-huh. And then the wrap party was at 8 o'clock.
God.
So it's like, everybody, you're going to go to sleep and then come to the wrap party. But it was amazing. Like, I think Aunt's always surprised by how many people show up. I am now not surprised by it anymore. But my entire crew showed up except for you and Brendan. I had to leave. but everybody was there. Everybody. And then they brought their partners. And everybody like let loose and had so much fun.
They were just waiting.
And yeah. And it's just, you know, like when you're in it, when you're in that experience of directing and it's brutal shoot and you know that, and especially since I've talked about this before, I think about everybody else before myself. So everybody's needs and happiness, and I just like want to make sure that everybody is just having a good enough time as I could possibly, you know, give them.
Right.
And so, you know, and I was very insecure because it was brutal. It was a brutal shoot. And I was very insecure with that. Everyone's gonna like not want to work with me again.
Oh, so no.
Like, fuck this. That was not a good experience. But everybody was so fucking stoked and happy, and I don't know why. Maybe this is because I had a drink in me, but I was like, "Oh my god, you still love me!" I was like, "You like me still?" And you know, like, yeah, it was just really reassuring that everybody had a really great time, even though it was really stressful and everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But we powered through it, and we had fun, and everybody's like, what's the next one? Like, that's so cool to like even hear that. But it's quite an accomplishment.
Yeah,
I feel like it hasn't hit me yet that it's done. I'm not going straight into post-production, so gonna take a little bit of time. Yeah, it's just been it's bittersweet. It's because like, do I miss it? I do. But I also know that I need my rest. But
now the fun part starts. Post is the most fun.
Probably. I don't know. That was fun for me. Like handling all that mess was a lot of fun for me. I know it was stressful, but like I never cracked. I cracked one time. And of course, I cracked with Tom. Of course. It's the only person that I probably could have cracked with.
Sure.
And I felt some tears like coming out. And it was the Peter Facinelli day. And it was regarding another day that we had planned, and I needed Tom to add something for me. And it seemed in my mind that Tom was the only one who challenged me and was like kind of
not listening
back, but no, like going, why do you need this? I can't do that. And I'm like, you're the only one that is like chat. Like I have to like actually convince to do something. And I think it's because we're in a partnership.
Yes. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I always feel the way about David too. I'm like, is this a roadblock? Like from my partner? Yeah. Like, why do I have to explain to you what I want to do?
Yeah, exactly. That thing
it's weird.
was what it was because everybody, so many people, and I was surprised, but so many people would be like, yes, I can do it. And it was like, they're pulling it out of fucking thin air constantly. And then when I had that roadblock with Tom, I was like, wait a minute, you're the only one that I have to like, but I also think he was just like overwhelmed as well. And probably with my energy as well at home. I literally, I I like melted to him in a sense of like, I am going through so much right now.
Just do it. Help me.
I just need you to do
it.
Yeah,
just help me.
Like, please just help me. Like, literally, I think I even said that. I said, I just need you to help me.
Yes.
And I just felt the tears coming in. And then my AD came forward and he had gotten robbed.
I know.
His fucking house got robbed. And I was like, they like literally like, I don't, they evaporated and they just like sucked back in. Mm. And I was like, okay, what's happening? What's going on? Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. I'm
divert.
Yeah, like completely. But man, it was a crazy fucking experience. It really was. I just hope we got everything we needed.
See, when you move on to post, I think it's more, the feeling is more like, and I had it on a much smaller scale than you, trust me. Mm-hmm. It felt like I could really be creative and start to like put the movie together. And it was so exciting to see it. And knowing that I could, it was all creative. There was no stress of time or, you know, like we can't do this. It was a lot of like finding new things with score, with sounds, with music, with color, with things that I'd never been a part of. So that was, I mean, shockingly my favorite part of the whole process. But my process wasn't, I didn't have issues on set with like things going wrong. I had issues with actors, you know, having battles with actors, which is another, you had it, but and on a pretty big scheme, but thank God you only had one person not listening to you.
I know. And I think I handled that really well.
Oh, fuck yeah. You know what I said to David? I was like, dude, if that were me, I would have cried. I would have cried. You probably would have never guessed it in a million years that I would have cried over Scout. But if I would have walked into that room and had that and that energy, I don't know if I would have been able to hold it together.
Yeah, I think that's like one thing that I really know how to handle, and it's just because I'm very adaptable.
How?
And emotional. I'm an emotional being. So it's like I understand different wavelengths of people, and maybe that's from being on set for so at such a young age that like I've been with adults.
Yes.
And adults are all different, you know what I'm saying? So I think, I don't know, I'm very like sensitive to like adapting to like, okay, this is what this person needs, this is what this person needs, this is what this person needs, this is what this person needs. And I'm just like so good at like making myself available in the way that they need. Maybe that's my love addiction as well. It could be, you know, that I'm like so good to like morphing and adjusting with people, which makes me a chameleon, but it also makes me change like who I am to fit someone's mold for a second, which is probably, you know, in my everyday life, probably not the best, but in work life, it works.
Right.
You know, because I'm able to handle like a set of a different fucking million personalities coming at me at once. And, you know, and a lot of people, I don't know who I was asking, but I like every once in a while I would ask someone, I'd be like, is this normal? And everybody would be like, this is not normal for your first directing.
Yeah, no.
Like how many people are coming to you constantly is not normal. Like it was times 10. It was crazy.
Yeah. You were making every
but
decision.
I think it was just cause I was just available for people. And I also didn't have meltdowns.
I mean, you were
so
setting
like, everybody else was having meltdowns. Yeah. And I was like the safety net for people to come to and be like, I need this figured out or else I'm going to explode.
I mean, there are obviously things that you did not have to do on set that you were doing. You know, it's not your job to necessarily, you know, go move something that's in the frame, like get up out
I
of
know,
your chair and go
a
move
fuck.
A wall. Of course not. But you'll figure out who that person is or those people to say, so-and-so, grab, move that wall or whatever it may be.
I think what it is because we were all obviously like short-staffed.
Of course.
In a sense.
But there were plenty of people there to do that,
like,
Steph Scout.
I'm a helper.
I know.
I'm such a helper.
You need to sit at the monitor and
and also
watch
it makes
your
me,
actors.
Like, repeating myself when I didn't have a voice and or like not being heard because I was screaming. I was like, fuck it, I'll just do it myself.
Right.
Like it was easier just to do it yourself than like, you know, ask like five times and then you get in the editing room and I'm like, oh, fuck, you remember when I asked to do that?
Right, now it's fucking there. Now you've got
did it.
Yeah, cut around it.
Yeah. So I was like, fuck it. Yeah, a lot of people were asking me like, well, it's also this too, it's you know, a lot of the actors were coming to me. I mean, you were kind of the one person that I really didn't have to give, you and Brendan really, like, didn't have to give notes to. But I really figured out, like, the way that I work with actors. It's like, obviously, you know, I don't know. For me, in a sense, like, when someone comes up to me as a director and asks me to adjust something, I can sometimes get in my head. Mm. So a lot of the times I just ask for another take. Mm-hmm. And that actor is so well experienced that they'll fucking adjust it anyways. They'll adjust what I want them to do. Right. And then I don't have to say anything.
I think we go to, for me, I go to the director when I feel like something wasn't right.
Yeah.
The reality is, like, what you're going to tell me is probably what'll end up coming out, because if that's the right choice, we'll make that choice, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not that there's necessarily right choices, but, you know, like that scene with Ant and I fighting.
So great. It's probably my favorite scene in the movie.
I mean, didn't go, you know, the scene is written where I'm fucking done. I'm pissed. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I can go there real easy. You know, that's like on paper, I'm like, this is something I don't even have to, like, I'm just going to yell at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't realize when he brought in that emotional component of his frustrations with being a drug addict that mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that. So on your, essentially on your wide shot or your two shot, I don't really know exactly who was on camera. Nick was like, that's the one. He's like, I felt like you had real emotion, like real tears. And I think that was the thing that surprised me, is that it wasn't, it just came out. And I wasn't planning it or thinking
that's
of it.
So
but
nice.
That's
so beautiful.
And that's so, like, I mean, that's the way that I'm trained. That's Meisner. Like, there's no preconceived notions with what, you don't have an idea of what you're going to do, because it just doesn't work out that way. You know, I came up with the idea of yelling at him. And then I was like, how am I going to yell at him in the middle of my workplace? Like, that doesn't really make sense then, because people, I mean, I kind of don't give a fuck and people kind of know the situation, but there are strangers in the room. So it's like trying to figure out, coming up with an idea of how to do that. And I couldn't think of an idea. Yeah.
I know Ant was so shocked. He was so shocked that that scene moved so fast.
Yeah.
And I was like, we didn't have to waste any more time on
it. And then I tried to recreate for coverage.
I know.
Did you see me trying to get that feeling again?
I did. I was like, no, we got it. I was like, move on.
I couldn't do it, because it was just real in the moment. Yeah. And then I was like, it had happened and I had passed the feeling. And then I was trying to recreate it so you can get better coverage of it. But you'll probably use the wider anyway.
The one thing, like, it's so crazy, because, like, I thought the one relationship that I thought I was going to love, like, that I was going to be, like, the best for me was you and Brendan, which was great. But, like, you and Ant together, like, what you guys are able to create with one another, especially with the tone of what was involved in both of your guys' characters, mm-hmm. was just... That ended up being, I never even thought about that relationship, like, being anything for me. It's almost like I wish I like knew that and then talked to my writer and had more stuff between you and of that relationship.
Yeah.
But I think we do have enough to, like, I mean, you know, some people are going to understand addiction, obviously.
And been there, you know.
And people also dealing with people that are, you know, a family member struggling with addiction.
I mean, I think you have to care a lot about his character, you know. I think it wasn't explored.
And Ant did a great job.
Wasn't explored in the dialogue. It wasn't explored in the script, you know, all the little bits that where his character was like, he's a fuck up and getting in trouble. So you're like, you kind of want to discard him.
But he played it so fragile, which is what I wanted. And I know I needed that. I know I needed someone that would play it vulnerable and fragile and just trying to survive within himself and not play like a, you know, like, I'm a fucking drug addict. Yeah, I'm going to join this. You know, like, someone so tough. I needed someone. And when I originally had someone else in mind, and he couldn't do it because of a conflict. Mm. And I was like, fuck, who the fuck am I going to get? And so I went with Ant to the Santa Barbara Film Festival, And, you know, Ant's a producer. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a producer, and then he acts, like, every once in a while. And I did a movie with him, which is a horror movie, mm-hmm. and he was the lead of it. And, you know, I've seen him act, but then it wasn't when I went to the Santa Barbara Film Festival that I saw this, like, it was a small role that he did in this movie, but it was, like, so vulnerable and so edgy that it was, like, no hesitation for me, because he was going to play Tim, the witness. Right. And it was no hesitation for me to call him up and be like, you know, I hope this is, and he loved the opportunity. He was just like, wait, what? You want me to play this character? I was like, yes. Like, I believe in you. Cody is just fucking having a field day. Do you know that Cody has early signs of kidney disease?
Aw.
Yeah. I was hit with that, like, mid-shoot. I was like, no fucking way.
Is he like going to the bathroom and stuff in the house, or?
No, he's just constantly drinking so much water, and he's going to the bathroom. He's getting a deep clean on Saturday, and then I have to try to switch his food to this kidney soft food that's supposed to help. I'm like, dude, no. And I'm reading online. It's like 400 days is what dogs have. I'm like, fuck off. Fuck you all. Like, man, he's giving me nothing. And then now I'm like, okay.
It happens. That's why
I'm seeing it. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Get another dog.
No. Well, I did it, guys. It was a cool experience. I would fucking do it again.
You better do it again.
Well, it's insane. Like, I should have done this, like, years ago. It's the same with my fucking book. I should have done this years ago, which I have to figure that out, too. But, like, there are so many doors opening right now that are pretty cool. And I'm obviously excited to do ours. But, like, there's so many cool opportunities that are coming in into my world right now because of this. And it hasn't even fucking come out. We don't know if it's even good.
And, you know, for the first time, you have a partner that gives you the freedom and the trust to support, even though they're, you know, pains in the asses sometimes. Like, you really can flourish in your life when you know that you have a safe place to land.
Yeah. Like, the fact that people, like, so many people have come up to me that are, like, offering me other jobs. They're just like, I just love how you run a set. It's like, wow, you love how I run that set? Imagine if I had fucking days and money
I know.
And like, and things weren't fucking going wrong, like production trucks being stolen and shit. Like, imagine. I'm like, dude, that was the third day in our production truck was stolen. Like, what the fuck? Who does that happen to? Everything in it. Everything. I was like, and
hand warmers, God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I was even surprised that you bought hand warmers. I was like, she brought hand warmers? I haven't.
Yeah, they bought everything, but then all got stolen.
We got a lot of really good questions. So you guys have like sent in some good stuff, and I'm very excited about that. So we were just talking about, we needed more questions, and we are finally getting some questions, which is great.
Yeah, there's a lot.
So should I start reading some?
Yeah.
We got some people asking for 911 calls again, so we got to.
Oh, yeah, I think I got a couple.
Okay, so let's see. So I'm just going to flag some. This is, hey, Scout and Danielle. Okay, so when I hit it off with the bartender here in New York City, we chatted, flirted, and I got his number on Instagram. I had a total crush on him. We'd been texting a bit and liking each other's stories, and I decided to make a move and ask him if I could treat him to Madonna concert tickets. He excitedly accepted. I secured floor seats at the last minute and decided to surprise him. Before the concert, I texted him saying I got tickets in the upper part of the arena. But when we arrived, I spilled the beans and showed him our amazing seats right next to the stage. He was so excited and said it was the nicest thing anything had did for him. We had a blast. The concert was so fun, and we didn't stop chatting, singing, and dancing all night. He bought me a drink and a t-shirt from the merch stand. While I couldn't tell if he was 100% into me, we absolutely hit it off. I was still left in a gray area if whether it was a date or not, but I was certain he would have seen it that way given the fact that he accepted such expensive concert tickets from me. We texted quite a bit after, and I decided to specifically ask him out on a date. He replied that he was flattered, but that he has a boyfriend. I was shocked and embarrassed. I assumed
that's happened to me so many times.
I assumed treating him to an expensive concert ticket would be a sign that I was interested. So the fact that he would accept the ticket, or at the very least not make it clear that he had a boyfriend in any of our conversations, was shocking. I have yet to respond to him. What should I do? Should I have no further contact? Should I talk to him about how I feel? Should I ask him to try to send some money for the ticket? Any help would be appreciated. Oh, I just want to walk away from this situation with some dignity because I already feel so embarrassed and disappointed. Love you, girls, and I can't wait to see Scout's movie, Josh. Jeez. You can't ask for the money back.
You can't ask for the money back. Don't. I mean, yeah.
Lesson learned. Communicate. Uh-huh. Say what you're looking for before you put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, if he texts you, just say, I had a little thing for you and I didn't know you had a boyfriend. So out of respect for your partner, I think it's best that we don't chat. That's it.
Yeah. I think you can't, you obviously can't expect for the other people to communicate how you want them to communicate. So I think what Danielle said is like, or maybe just tell them that you had a thing for them and that you were under a different impression going to that concert.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's their fault.
No.
You know, unfortunately, I think, you know, he probably just thought they thought you were just being nice, you know?
Or maybe
I've done that a couple times and then the person's just like, wait, you don't like me? And I was like, wait, what?
Oh no.
I was like, oh, I just thought I didn't know. I thought like, I didn't know it was a date. I didn't know it was a date. No one said it was a date.
It's funny because if someone did that for me, which I don't think anyone I ever dated took me anywhere like that, other than my husband. Yeah. I would have immediately been like, what do they want from me? What are they expecting from me? But I know that's just my what am I going to do this?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that sucks. That sucks. But
yeah, don't bother. Man. Just let it go. You don't need to text him or start the conversation. But if for whatever reason he does decide to contact you again, then just say that. And then next time, just say, hey, I'd love to take you on a date.
Hey, I like you.
Can I take you to, you know, use the word date so you kind of know.
Use it.
Because you just,
I think everyone's like so shy, you know? They're like, oh, maybe if I just like invite them somewhere and we'll see where it goes. It's like, I think if you say what you feel up front, then it's like the letdown.
Right.
Won't be there.
Right, right.
You know, but I used to be that way too. But then I learned, like, you know, I just got to communicate on what it is, what I feel. So then I'm not going through those fucking letdowns in life.
Right.
I'm just getting let down sooner than later.
I remember, like, I was so ballsy when I was younger. I initiated, shocker, a majority of the relationships. And I remember I saw a guy at a Christmas party that, like, caught my eye immediately. And he was like sitting in the corner and I was like, oh, I have got to go out with this guy. This guy is so freaking cute. So my type. Like, I don't know what the deal was. And I literally went over to him and said, I think you are so cute. Can I give you my number? And he was like, sure. And then was like, you know, he made some comment about I'm like recently divorced, but, and I was like, whatever. And then, you know, he ended up being my Tuesday and Thursday meet at a bar. So it was not, you know, he wasn't in a place to date or whatever, but that was ballsy.
There's a situation, it was before Tom, like I think my relationship, like dating relationship before Tom, he was an older gentleman. It was my first like older gentleman. And I sort of did that. We just like hung out. And it was going for a while, for a bit. And then our last hangout, I was like, you know what? I feel like I'm just like a lay. I just feel like I'm just like this younger lay. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to tell him how I feel. And I told him how I felt at the bar. And he did one of the, oh, I thought we were just having fun. Mm. Like, fuck.
Yeah. No.
I should have fucking said this in the fucking beginning.
Right, right.
Because here I've wasted like 3 weeks of this fucking dude and I like him. And, you know, and I remember that. But I was so proud of myself because I didn't sleep with him that night.
Good.
I was like, no, I'm going to go.
Good. Good for you.
I'm not going to sleep with you. This is done.
It's not
Thank
just
you.
Fun for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I saw Kristen Stewart's movie this last weekend.
How was it?
I'm happy that she's come into her own and that she's like playing her truth, you know? You can see how comfortable she is in that body now, which is fucking awesome. She's great. Uh-huh. She's always great. Her co-star is fucking great too. Yeah, she's
with my management. That other
she is.
Other I'm not sure if she really does she identify as a female or is are no they, fem- they,
I, she identifies as female.
Oh, okay, cool.
I believe she's gay. She's got, I think she's married or has a girlfriend, but I was looking at her, like kind of how she prepared. Like, I don't know. I haven't done any research. I didn't even
see. She's a bodybuilder.
She's MMA. She's like especially, you know, martial arts fighter. But she obviously got very large for, you know, she fucking killed it for the movie. But all I kept thinking when watching it, have you seen the trailer for it?
Yeah.
I kept thinking I was watching like A.C. Slater from Saved by the Bell back in the day. Like because it was the 80s and the outfits they had her in, her like bodybuilding outfits looked like wrestling outfits. And it was so Mario Lopez back in the day of the curly hair and the like kind of Latin. But like, you know, like I don't know what it was, but I was like, I cannot stop thinking about Mario. I cannot stop thinking that I'm watching Mario on screen just because it was so dated.
Yeah.
But she was hot and there were a lot of really good. I always wonder, like, the lesbian scene. Like, there's a scene where Kristen wants her to show her how she, like, fingers herself. And because then Kristen wants to do it. And I always wonder, like, the way it's shot and, like, kind of how you do it. And, you know, I don't know, like, what is that like on set? Because I've never had to do something that graphic. You know,
oh, really?
I never had to pretend to finger myself on film. I mean, I've done like, you know, doggy style sex scenes and like some, you know, some bondage sex scenes kind of thing, but I've not ever done, I mean, I haven't done a lesbian scene on film. I guess we'll see when you and I get to our next movie, Scout. But I don't, I always wonder like how, because it looked pretty fucking like, you know, and they're both like, openly out. So what it what is
there's
that
a there's a coordinator there, right?
I guess, like,
yeah. I mean, even when Chrissy Metz had that scene with Connor and it was just a kissing scene, there was someone there like literally going step by step by step by step on how everything was.
This seemed like they fucking just went to town. I mean it was like so quick and so natural and so I don't know. It was done really
show
well
things right. They didn't show things.
Yeah, they did.
They did. Oh, like vagina?
No vagina. They showed tits, though.
Oh, well,
like
that's
sucking
nothing.
Tits and all that stuff.
Oh, well, that's nothing. Yeah. I think. Yeah, I mean, you kind of got to ask like Dakota Johnson and like, you know, on 50 Shades of Grey.
I don't know. Like, man and woman, I think that's what I wonder. Like, you know, there's.
That's different.
I would be more. Same thing. It's weird. Like, I would almost be more comfortable with a woman doing it, even if. Like she was gay. Like, I don't know. Than a man, I feel like there's still some, like, need more permission because there's appendages and things that could be taken the wrong way.
I never felt that way. Maybe just because I'm like a comfortable gypsy that I've never felt that way with any, because like I've had a couple lesbian things, but my first one was when I was a kid. Like literally a child.
Shocker.
That's my first on-screen kiss was a girl. It was called After School Special. And I just remember even at that young age, like the other girl was so nervous. Mm. And they like let us, like I don't know what it was. I remember, I mean, I think I was like 10 or something. And I remember I was like, I can talk to her. It's okay. And they were like, oh, you want to talk to her? And I was like, yeah, I'll just talk to her alone and see how comfortable she is and stuff. It was us playing doctor.
Oh, okay, got it, yeah.
And I remember, like, me and this girl, and she obviously was not bisexual at all, and I was. And I was like, hi, it's like, so how comfortable are you? Like, at 10 years old, going, like, you know, like, if we play doctor, if I touch your boobs, and it's like, I'm like, can you imagine?
Right. Oh my God.
And she, and there was just like an understanding. I think there's an understanding with you and that actor. Like you guys have to, depends on like what your chemistry and what your, you know, trust for one another is. Like I've heard a lot of people, like even like Blue Valentine with Ryan Gosling and,
yeah.
Fuck, I'm drawing a blank on the other person, but yeah, such a good movie. But like there were so many ups and downs, and they actually spent like 2 months or something with one another before living with each other.
I mean, I think like, that was a little fucking excessive, but don't you? Well, I don't know what their process is. Like,
yeah, everybody's process is different. I mean, I like even like I'm thinking 50 Shades of Grey. It's like you have to have a fucking trust for that person. And you have to be really comfortable in your body to even do that. Like, that's why, like, when I get so mad at people that, like, when you get an audition, it says nudity or
simulated sexual sex,
yes. Like, it says, if you are not fucking comfortable with that, do not fucking audition. Do not. Because then when you get on set and the other person is completely willing to like be comfortable and then you are this massive roadblock, it just like makes it so much worse for that other person.
I've seen it. I've seen it on set.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen it too. It just stresses me out. It stresses you out. You feel like you're doing something wrong. And then you're just like, then it's like robotic. And you're just like, oh, I won't touch you there. What do I do?
See, I've only, honestly, I think the few sexual scenes I've done, mm-hmm. one was with my friend Jason London, who I'd known for a million years. And it was like, I mean, it was weird that it was his fucking wife was in the room. Like that, I obviously didn't need that.
Strange.
But I was also like deep into my addiction at that time too. So I probably got off on it or was like, I'm going to make him feel better than you probably will, even though we're like acting.
Wow. Go.
I don't know. Well, that's Danielle. Because she, you know, I think it was like, if she wasn't there, it would have been a totally different situation. But it was also shot really pretty. And there was no like actual thrusting. It was like I was on my belly and he was like kissing my back down to like my lower tailbone and then turned around and we were like kissing and I had pasties on. But like nothing was, there was no like actual, the only time that I've actually had like where you see someone banging me are ironically enough, in Urban Legend, I had two sex scenes. One, I was on top. So remember, I had them put like a comforter down between this guy and me because I was like, I don't want to fucking be grinding on him and feel anything because I was freaked out because he was not an actor. Imagine an extra being cast to do your sex scene with. And there's no kissing, but it was like,
wait, what? Yeah.
They like found this guy on the street because they wanted like a real goth guy. Yeah, that was.
Oh, that awesome. I probably would have been like, nope.
Well, it started when we were the first scene I had to do with him. I've got a collar on and a chain and a leash. And he's holding me and he's doing me doggy style. I'm wearing a bra underwear, you know, you can't really see anything, but he's behind me and my body's like doing the movement, you know, which is fucking embarrassing in and of itself.
Yeah.
I did. There's a scene with in Kristen's movie in the opening where she's having sex with, not her, the other girl's having sex with someone in a car. And it like the movie opens up that way. And it's so fucking rough. It's what's his name's brother. I can't remember his name right now. Anyway.
That's how you know though, really.
God. But it was again, like in a car and he was really rough with her and, you know, doggy style kind of thing. But I did another movie called The Victim, which I'm embarrassed. I should have never done that sex scene. There was nothing. It was me bent over a rock outside and like by a creek.
Oh, man.
But it just looks, it just, and I did it for my friend Jennifer, but, and her husband Michael Bean directed it. So I wanted to work with him. But when I look back at that scene, you know, like bent over and the camera was in front of me and it was outside. So it's just my like tits and face moving towards the camera. And it just looks, I don't know. It's like embarrassing. It doesn't, it's not, it's just, you know, dirty feeling.
It's also too, like, I think like even with those, cause I've had one director, which I won't talk about it cause I was given the advice to not bring these stories up. When I had approval to watch the scene, I think that should be in the contract when you do these sexual things. I think it should be like, we are able to watch it and approve which take we want.
I think that I definitely feel like I've had that before.
I don't really do that very, no. I've done it once. But maybe it's also because I don't want to fucking see it.
Maybe.
Maybe, but I think that should be in every contract.
Yeah.
Even like how they put it together. Like, nope, I don't like that. It's like, we get photo approval. Yeah. Why can't I get fucking my sex scene approval?
Yeah, you probably can.
I want to see how you're going to edit it. And if I don't approve, I don't approve. Yeah.
But I mean, you trust.
All these people are like, ha, 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 AI is taking over, bitches.
I mean, that's the great thing about this having your friend director direct you, because then you know, like, okay, they've got my back, or there's, you know.
How were you comfortable with our stuff?
I was more comfortable with the way it ended up turning out.
Yeah, me too.
Because it just didn't feel like I would be so comfortable to seduce him, like to start the process. You know, actually, David had.
Especially how you guys
yeah, we were just like talking.
How you guys played the scene. Yes. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I can't.
Let's just make this.
Like, it was weird to initiate a connection after that speech. I was like, how do I, this does not feel like a romantic moment.
No, but that's what it was. It wasn't. It was like you guys were just using one another to like fill a void.
Right.
Which is what I felt. I was just like, oh man, I've been here.
Yeah. 100%.
You've been in that situation.
And then I think, because you know, we did so you guys, there's no actual sex scene, just to preface it.
No, there's not.
There's like before and then after dialogue scenes. Don't get all excited. So the scene for post-coitus, I think I was super soft in, and then I was like, okay, well, there's an interesting dichotomy of someone as tough as us when we did need to numb ourselves of pain, but there's still a connection that happens, I believe, with people when they're having sex, whether you want to detach or not, where, you know, after the fact, there was more intimacy and more closeness than the scene leading up to it.
Unexpected. Yeah, 100%.
You know, I think she gets a little... So you can get a little bit confused. I think that's why when guys are like, and women, I'm sure, are like, oh, wait, I thought this was just fun. Like, there's usually one person in the bedroom
That's why you can't sleep with your friends.
Does connect.
You can't sleep with your friends. We're just friends. I was watching Love is Blind. Have you watched this season?
Yes.
And I was like, you know...
But I didn't see.
Chelsea
I didn't
was see. Annoying me because she's emotionally unstable and she needs to go through a lot of therapy because she's definitely reminds me of myself.
Chelsea's the one that has body image issues.
Yes. And who was with Jimmy or Jeremy and was just like, you know, you don't love me. Like, I don't love a man. I don't need a man that goes out, you know, that kind of stuff. But she just like, I was like, wow, I was that codependent once. Mm. Like, I was that codependent. Like, that was my love addiction. It was being codependent. And so I was like, oh my God, she would do so well if she just went to like, you know, and got some, just worked on herself
a bit.
She just
needs
therapy. But that was the only thing that I agreed with her was he was very, very close with a female friend that they fucked, but he didn't want to like disclose that information. And
this
he didn't understand why
her?
She was so uncomfortable. Yeah.
It's none of her, business then.
Well, he brought it up.
Oh.
So if you bring it
you're looking to get a reaction.
Dude.
Yeah, shut your fucking mouth. Shut your mouth. Sorry.
I'm like, if you're going to bring it up,
you're doing it to make her feel bad.
You brought it into the fucking world. You brought it into the relationship. So however she's going to react and however she feels, you have to be okay with.
Yeah, people don't, if you don't want someone to know, don't open your fucking mouth.
Yeah, if it doesn't mean anything, don't say anything about it. Like, if it doesn't mean anything, if it's causing you that much,
you're still thinking about it.
Then you're still thinking about it.
So there's a reason to be worried about.
Then there's other reasons, yeah. It's like, if you just fucked your friend and like on a ooh-ooh night, then you wouldn't think that you'd have to like bring it up to your girlfriend. Like then you're wanting to make her jealous or like, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing something.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
So like, if you guys are watching Love is Blind. So the first episode I saw when we were filming, actually, the super weird dude. What's his name? Is it Michael? No. The really awkward guy that like isn't talking to anybody. Oh my God, the director of the Stream movie. Michael is just texting me.
Hi.
Oh, wait, should I read what he just said to me? Because maybe this is like.
Well, don't read it.
I'm not going to read it. I'm going to read it in my mind first.
I'm going to read it in my mind.
Yeah, he says, I wanted to let you know we can't announce it yet, so I guess I won't be saying it.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah,
don't say it. But it's really good news. Oh my gosh. Okay, this is awesome. I'll tell Scout when you guys are up.
I can't even my voice.
What was I just saying? The weird guy in the first episode reminds me of, he looks, by the way, just like John, our old editor. Looks and sounds exactly like him. He's this super awkward, super like, after the first episode, I was rooting for him. He was like, remember he found, I forget what her name is, the chick with the initials. He was like, finally, like, he was so awkward and uncomfortable in the situation that he was put in to meet these ladies. That's exactly how David was on like our first couple of dates. Where you're like, I'm so confused as to what's happening here. Are we friends? Are you like happy that you're here? Are you not? Are you nice? Are you not? Like, I just wasn't sure.
Yeah.
And then after, you know, a few dates, I got to see the real David, which takes a while, and was like, oh my God, this guy is probably one of the sweetest, if not the sweetest men and most consistent man I have had in my life ever. But it just took a while to like get there, you know?
Get it out.
So this guy that I'm seeing, he's the one that told the two girls after the first episode the same exact thing.
Oh, that
yes,
guy?
Yes, he turns into like a, I didn't see the psychopath coming.
The crazy ass.
It's crazy.
Did you not? I did.
I did not, because he reminded me of my husband. Like, he's just misunderstood. He's just misunderstood. But you know, first starting David, I was like, I don't understand what's going on. It's like, because he was so different from anyone I had dated before. Because he wasn't an actor, so he was uncomfortable in those situations where only dating actors, they're like, you know, Mr. Personality and like all about them. And then I couldn't stand
that. Did you watch
the
reunion show?
I just got to the part where they are going on their trip.
Oh, fuck.
I know. I've only seen episodes up through six or whatever.
I'm done. Oh, just wait.
I'm always wrong. I'm always wrong. Everyone that I think is going to work.
Who do you think are going to make it?
I don't know. I'm always wrong. Every single time, it's like the opposite. I think the big brother and the kind of southerny brunette white girl,
okay.
I love them. Okay. And then the other couple, the guy has kind of longer hair and she is, I don't know what ethnicity she is. Girl, that.
Oh, the Tyler. Tyler, the goofy white guy and like the Latina?
Yes. Yes. The other one,
like the
not
eyeliner.
So much. The other girl, yes. The other one, the blonde, that like the other guy's kind of like smaller, but I think she's referencing that he's got a big dick because she keeps talking about his hands. Like, I don't know if.
Oh, I can't wait for you to
like,
watch.
He's too goofy for me. He's too, like, he would annoy the fuck out of me.
Oh, I cannot wait for you to
and
watch.
And then the African-American guy and girl that first he was like, I want to know, like, I just think they're probably going to have great sex and. I don't see him being someone that wants to be married, to be honest. So, but again, I'm wrong. Every single time I'm wrong.
Well, you got two of those right. I'm not going to tell you which ones.
I love it.
But you got two of those right. I don't know if it's not together or together, but you got two.
And I finished American Nightmare.
Oh yeah,
that was fucking blew my mind.
Yeah.
It fucking blew my mind.
I have to watch it.
You watched it, didn't you?
You know what? No, I haven't.
Even finished?
No, I don't think. Wait, what was American Nightmare?
Yeah, it's the three episode about the woman that gets kidnapped in the middle of the night, but it's meant for his ex-girlfriend, and they take her hostage, and the boyfriend, they
Oh, no, I haven't. I haven't. That's what I was trying to find.
Oh, my God. Last night. It's so good.
I was trying to find that. I was like, there's some fucking documentary that I wanted to watch.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Because
they pin her for. Him first is the bad guy, and then it's her. Maybe she's like looking for attention and did her own like disappearance, and then the last is like the group of other. It's fucking insane. So you have to watch that. And I don't know if you know who Wendy Williams is. Do you know who Wendy Williams is?
Yeah.
So I watched her documentary too.
I want to watch her documentary too.
It's
poor girl.
Fucking broke my heart, man.
Poor girl. I know. And they were so fucking mean to her, man. They were like the tabloids and people have been so fucking mean to her.
Yeah.
Like, she's crazy. She's like fucking, she's, come on.
She's
sick.
She's sick.
People.
She's got dementia. Very sick. She's got Graves' disease. She's got stuff
Dude,
with
and
her
it
feet.
Happened so fucking
she's
fast.
She's an alcoholic. I mean, there's a lot of things that are against her.
Yeah.
A lot of people around her that just are in it. In it for the money. Like, dude, fucking publicist sets up a meeting for her, a management meeting for her at Universal, at NBC. Like they take her, like she's got a conservatorship. Like she's being, like they, she gets her on a fucking plane and takes her without telling anybody. And she gets drunk before she goes into the meeting. And then goes into the meeting and comes out talking about how she like wanted to wear whatever these clothes she was wearing. And she showed these execs her feet and like stuff that's like, who is protecting this woman?
Oh, that's sad.
You know, their family's so there, sad. But like they're all in Florida. So I just felt, you know, Wells Fargo put a hold on her money because I thought it was being mishandled by people in her family. And she's got like no access to money, but it doesn't seem like anybody was actually mishandling her money. I mean, I think it was like Wells.
They're mishandling her.
They're mishandling her
for money,
but so they don't have access to her money, thing? And they give it to like a court-appointed guardian, essentially, that some stranger has access to all of your finances. Like, I can't even. And I finished Brittany's book.
Yeah.
Finished Britney's book. So I've had like a lot of
people were not impressed with the Britney Spears book.
You know what? I really wasn't that excited. I just feel really sad for her, and I hope and wish that at some point in her life she finds what really will make her happy. You know, my heart goes out to her because she doesn't know any better, and I don't know if they were trying to protect her. I mean, I don't know. She's been a caged animal for so long, so I didn't like that. Like throughout her entire tour, her entire residency in Vegas, nobody would let her change. Like any of the routine, the dances, the songs. So for however many years she was there, it had to be the same shit every single night. Like nobody would give her financial freedom to do anything. And then she never knew she could get her own lawyer. Like that blew my mind. Like who's telling you you can't hire, like criminals get their court appointed lawyer when you're like a murderer.
I mean, but when you're being raised into this industry and you're being taken care of by people so close to you, being told what to do and what you cannot do, you're essentially still a fucking child.
Yeah.
Like she is still a child. She's not been like let to handle things on her own any time of her life.
And she says so that. Imagine she had no idea.
Imagine that though, Danielle. Imagine that. Your whole entire, like 20s and 30s. I fucking kind of was like that until my mid 20s.
I mean, it's Michael Jackson.
I felt so fucking dumb. I felt so dumb that I didn't know how to do taxes. I didn't know like how to handle my bank account. Like I didn't like know things. Yeah. Because I, you know.
I knew all that shit because I was doing it for my family at like 13, like writing checks.
For me. Constantly.
This is a really interesting question. While you look up one more, I'm going to read this one.
Okay, I have a 911 call.
Okay, so this I thought was a really great question. Serial dating versus SLAA. Hi, Scout and Danielle. Oh. Just to preface, please know that I by no means, no means this to shade the celebrity by this example or mean any ill intent. I'm just genuinely curious. You've spoken numerous times on SLAA, but my question is there a difference between people that have SLA and people who are kind of serial daters? For this example, Taylor Swift, is her dating habits considered healthy or can you say it's a symptom of SLA? It just seems like she's this fantastical image of love and just seems to jump from one relationship to another after each break and never seems to take enough time to herself. She's an absolutely gifted artist and has earned her fame. I just can't personally comprehend her thought process dating-wise. And just hearing your discussions on SLA, it just really made me wonder. Again, if this sounds like I'm slighting her, I apologize. I'm just curious if there's a difference between people like Taylor and others dating-wise. And what those have to go through SLAA. I do not feel like you were slighting her at all, by the way, because I've thought the same thing. I've wondered. I think any person that is a serial dater doesn't want to sit with themselves, is trying to kind of fill some void or distract from maybe something else. You know, again, speaking of Britney, like in relation, it could be a lot of people around her for a very long time where maybe she doesn't feel anything. Maybe connecting with a man alone in private is the only time that maybe she has time to be in private. And that's where she gets her love from and is able to return. I mean, I don't know what happens inside her bedroom. Obviously, there are plenty of people that date as much as she does that are not considered sex and love addicts. I'm sure it's just not in the media. You know, does she jump around from person to person and seem to kind of dive head first? Yeah, but she's like, you know, we've watched her date and I'm sure Scout and I've dated as many people as she has. I'm not a relationship like monogamous. Like when if I'm going to be in a relationship.
Do you think she is a serial dater?
I mean, she's,
Are you trying to say?
I think so.
I don't. I mean, she's a fucking kid.
She's not though.
She's a fucking kid.
She's not.
But I know she's 30, but like, you just said it. Like, we've dated just as many people,
just wasn't
but
in the media.
We weren't in the fucking limelight like that.
But I didn't have.
Do you imagine?
These are like boy. I mean,
but you gotta understand. Like, this fucking
it's everywhere.
Girl is a millionaire. She doesn't need a man. And sometimes these fucking men are leeches for their own, like, you know,
yeah,
thing. And also, I don't think a lot of men could handle a Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? No. Not a lot of men can handle a strong woman that don't need them. So yeah. I think I completely disagree with you with like, I'm just putting myself in her shoes. If we were in this, like I've dated. So if I was in the limelight and my dating history was on display, people would be like, slut,
of
whore,
course. If every time you went out with someone for more than one date and they caught it on camera, forget about it.
I'm sorry. I am on a fucking world tour and I'm just trying to fucking find a dude, okay? And I can't, okay?
That's what I mean. Like, I wonder if this is...
I can't find one that can handle my life.
I wonder if this is something that, like, that's the only normalcy she has.
When
she gets to go out. I mean, but she could be her most authentic and intimate when she is intimate with someone. You know, but like to me, that was what made me go, fuck, maybe I have a problem because I'm needing that to feel something because I'm so numbed out. I needed something to break that, but it really was just me abusing myself because it was like,
God, I don't get that from her. I really don't. I mean, this girl has been working nonstop. In a way that no one can actually understand. No. I think she has exceeded like a lot of pop stars and rock stars. And like what she has been able to do in her 30 years of life is insanity. And to also be a normal girl trying to like date and find love, and of course she's a fucking singer, so what else is she gonna write? She's a fucking kid,
right?
What do you want her to like create? Like, you this is what's like, you know, so fucking fucked with the world is because they literally are like, you know, that's why they were so bashing like Miley Cyrus or Christina Aguilera or Britney Spears when they decided, yo, I'm no longer a girl. I'm going to transition into a woman. Right. And they were like, oh, she's a fucking slut. She's like talking like her. Christina Aguilera is now dirty. Like, right. It's like, no, you are just seeing my life before your eyes, right. From a 17-year-old writing about love to a 20-year-old writing about addiction and love to a 30-year-old writing about, like, you know, it's just like, it's just, she's just writing what her experience and what she's going through in life. And unfortunately, it's like on a magnifying, it's like through a magnifying glass.
Do you think if she went to a meeting, she would find some similarities with some women's stories?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know her story well enough. Yeah. I just think it's kind of shitty for people to judge someone based on, you know, the fact that she hasn't stuck with one. I mean, she was with her fucking ex-boyfriend for how many years? Yeah. Like, they were together for like 5 years. He was younger. I think that didn't work out. I think she's even said it. It didn't work out because they were wanting different things. She wants marriage and he wasn't ready. Mm. So it's like, so it's so crazy for them to like, people to be like, well, she's a serial dater. It's like,
she just probably really wants, maybe she wants to get married and have kids like now, because that's what's missing in her life. She doesn't ever need to work again.
Probably.
And then maybe she's just dating around to find that person.
And she's been around adults her whole life. So she's been dating all these older men because I think that's like what she's known, you know?
What does she have in common with someone her age? Like, especially a guy, unless it's like another star,
but,
you know?
But she's still a kid, though. It's like that thing with Britney Spears. It's like when you're like working and as an adult your entire life and you don't let out that childlike thing, you're of course going to let it out in your relationship. And it seemed to be like the type of men that she dated were like, well, she's probably too young for me. Right. Yeah, you think?
Yeah, yeah. But they probably had their shit together a little bit more, and that's why it's like, okay, we're actually on the same level here.
Mentally, you know, like obviously you're an adult and you've like achieved things in your life and I'm attracted to that, but you are a child. Yeah. You're a kid. This isn't going to work for a long term. I think this guy might be really good for her. I don't know. I think it might be interesting.
I mean, it's going to be hell if they break up. You know?
Yeah, I at least hope that they're having the best sex of their life.
Hopefully.
I fucking hope she is.
I hope every woman and man is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys, should. Go really have the best sex of your life. Have you had sex with your fiance yet since you rapped or not yet? Because you had food poisoning.
Oh, fuck. Are you kidding me? I fucking can't eat a burger with it going, bleh. Could you imagine? I'd feel like I was on a boat. I'd be like, I'm seasick. I'm seasick. I know Tom tried to do the other day and I was like, are you kidding me right now? It's like, dude, I'm going to vomit on your penis.
Yeah!
I was like, get that away from me. On that note, everybody, happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. Scout is going to barf on Tom's dick.
Woo! All right, I'm going to go to urgent care.
I'm going camping with the boys. I love you. Happy Tuesday, everybody.
Have fun. Love
you
guys.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.